Hey everyone, you're listening to the LFC Podcasting Couch, and this episode's brought to you by Pharmacy Mart, Fairfield, New South Wales. Now, if you mention this podcast to the team, you'll receive 20% off their entire vitamin and sports supplement range. That's Pharmacy Mart opposite the Fairfield train station. And if you want any more location details, head to pharmacymart.com.au. Now, let's get on with the show.
Lovely cushion header.
Hey everyone, and welcome to episode 93 of the LFC Podcasting Couch. And my lord, that is so much to talk about. The date is exactly the 10th of July. We have signed Salah and Solanke. We haven't played a preseason game yet. There's just rumors everywhere. So let's bring on Big Time Matty Line. Big Time Matty Line, are you there, my friend?
Hey Nish, I'm doing well. How are you?
Great, great, great. I'm so glad we got an actual Scouser on the pod. It's good to have you on. Every time I talk to you, I kind of slip into Scouse mode on my voice. And I apologize if I just do that.
It's good practice for you, Nish. You're an honorary Scouser in my book.
Nice. Well, I've got two Scouse brothers, and every time, do you ever watch the Harry Enfield show?
Yeah.
It had those Scouse guys on it. The skit.
Calm down.
They know that. Harry, calm down. So, kind of grew up my brothers just doing that to each other because I had two brothers and they're the three guys. Harry, they know that. So, and weren't the Beatles in the Jungle Book? The three vultures or something? What you want to do? I don't know. What you want to do? Something like that.
Anyway. I don't know that. That's a new one on me.
See if it was on the original cartoon. Anyway, if anyone's listening and they know the answer, give us a shout. But yeah, what you been up to, man?
Just on holiday at the moment. Just come out to Switzerland for a few days, but heading back home to Liverpool soon.
Jesus. Any particular reason to be in Switzerland? Just traveling?
Just traveling. Just never been before, so thought I'd come over and see it.
Can I just be really annoying and just ask? Average, you don't have to tell me the exact amount, but to just jump on a plane and fly to Switzerland from England and fly back, how expensive that is?
It's actually pretty cheap.
That's the annoying
flight
part.
Was only about £100.
Oh my god.
And then with the various add-ons that the airlines always seem to find before you press buy, probably worked out about £150-170, something like that.
Wow, that's pretty decent. I guess in the same way, people are listening to this and go, you know what, I can jump across to Bali or to Fiji or anything like that. It'll take me, you know, Bali's probably 5-6 hours and Fiji's
plenty
back,
of nice places for you to go to. Yeah,
exactly, to say. And I'm like, meh, it cost me maybe $300, 300 Australian, which is about £150 as well. So, yeah, enjoy the Swiss Alps. I'll just head to Fiji. Slightly different.
I think you win that one.
Yeah. And Hawaii is not too far away for us too, and it'll probably take you, Jesus, must take you ages to get from England to Hawaii.
But it's a long time, I would think, yeah.
Yeah, it's about 12 hours or 9, 10 hours. Ugh, who knows? Yeah, it's beautiful. If you get across to Hawaii, it's a great, great little, it's not even a country, is it? It's just a state.
Yeah.
A state. Anyway, so we have signed... I'm just going to go out with it and just, you know, just to annoy people. The greatest young striker of all time, Dom Solanke. I've had a few Twitter fights over it over the last couple of days.
And what is this assessment based on?
Oh, just to piss off people, basically. I'm just like, you know what? The people are, oh, I'm trying to big name player. And I'm like, yeah, well, you know, he's Golden Boot. He's player of the tournament. He's a World Cup winner. He's English and he's about 6'3" or whatever the height he is. Yeah, he's pretty much the greatest signing ever, to be honest.
let's be optimistic. He might be right. He might storm the Premier League and be the next superstar for us. So
exactly.
Yeah, let's hope so.
Imagine if he was Brazilian and he got the Golden Boot and Player of the Tournament and won the Under 20 World Cup and we signed him for £3 million.
Has a fee been announced yet? Because I think it has to go to a tribunal.
Yeah, no, I don't think anything's been announced. People have been asking, you know, why hasn't he been signed? But then someone reminded me that Danny Ings played in the Merseyside derby and scored a goal before we even set a tribunal amount. So
yeah, it takes some time.
Yeah, so I don't think that's the reason why he hasn't been announced. I honestly have no idea whatsoever. So if anyone can enlighten us why he hasn't been signed, that'll be great. Well, not
have
announced.
Have you seen some of these bizarre announcements that other clubs are making? They're kind of avoiding the standard press release and having all sorts of interesting social media statements. Yeah. The John Terry signing via a WhatsApp group announcement, supposedly between Steve Bruce and the chairman. That was a new one. Well, there was an even cringier one, apparently. Have you heard about the Chelsea Rudiger signing?
One? I want Rudiger.
Yeah. Little boy asking for Rudiger on the back of his jersey.
No, son, you can't.
His dad eventually renouncing.
I play for Chelsea now. Okay.
It can only be a matter of time before, well, if we ever sign anyone, there's some suitably embarrassing announcements
I didn't mind the Roma one. The Roma one was kind of cool. Have you seen that one?
No, I haven't seen that one.
I can't remember. Donatelli, some bloody, turtle in a half shell, whatever it is. Some Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle sounding guy. It was just some person's hand playing FIFA. And as he's playing FIFA, then suddenly one of the players scores a goal and it comes up with whatever his name is, Michelangelo. And he turns around and the guy playing PlayStation was actually that guy. And he goes, Forza Roma or something like that, which is actually kind of cool. But I'm going to see if I can get a soundbite of that bloody announcement of the Sign Rudiger. Here it is. I'll get to the end.
No problem. I'm a Chelsea player now.
Oh, thank you.
No problem. I'm a Chelsea player now.
Oh, thank you.
Anyway, watch that. Good on you, Chelsea. I don't even know who Rudiger is. Is he any good? Have you heard of him before?
No, it was a new one on me. Didn't he play in the tournament this summer? Did well, I think. But that's about the extent of my knowledge, I'm afraid.
I don't know. Sierra Leonean German, 24 years old, 1.90 meters, 85 kilograms. He's a big boy, bloody hell. Antonio Rudiger, he has just come from Stuttgart. He was let go by Klopp.
Really?
Yeah, he played from 2008 to 2011, so he was clearly let go by Klopp. So we'll call him a Klopp reject, shall we?
That's a good one to taunt the Chelsea fans with, I guess.
Why not? So he was in the youth ranks, actually. So then, yeah, but Klopp brought up a lot of people through the youth ranks and clearly decided he wasn't good enough.
Yeah, he played for Germany in the Confederations Cup, so he's had some success this summer.
Yeah. So he went 11-12. He played for Stuttgart 2 for 22 games. Then he went the year after for 3 years, Stuttgart, 66 games in 3 years. And then he played last 2 years in Roma, played 56 games in two years. That's pretty good. He doesn't seem to get injured very often. Although, no, he doesn't really. It's fine. 30 games in his first season in Roma, 26 games with his second season, 35 and 37 in total. So he's got a good coming. Yeah, he won the Confed Cup, so...
Certainly much better value than Virgil van Dijk as well. I wonder if that will end Chelsea's supposed interest in him too.
Yeah, look, $29 million, five-year deal. He'll be wearing the number 2 jersey.
No worries, I'm a Chelsea player now.
Oh, thank you.
Anyway,
enjoy it while you can, because as I say, it's only a matter of time before we have our own embarrassing new signing announcement video or WhatsApp group or whatever.
Well, we had the Salah announced one, which isn't really that embarrassing, but I'm sure if he was any other team, we would have gone, that's cheesy. But we love it because he's ours, so that's all fine. Did you see that Salah one?
No, I didn't. I must have missed that one, I think.
You definitely did. Yeah, so the Salah one, he's... sorry?
Is it just him pointing at the number on the back of his shirt? I saw like a gif of that.
No. He was looking at his phone and he's going through Twitter and the Twitter's called like Salah Announced or something like that. And everyone's like going, announce Salah, blah, blah, blah. And then he just looks, it's him in a Liverpool shirt, and he looks at the camera going, Salah announced.
Oh, no, I have not seen
he's
that.
He's smiling. He just seems so sweet, oh, though. So because he's so a Liverpool player, yeah, I'm happy with it.
We've already jumped on that unfortunate bandwagon. Then,
should we try and invent like a really cringy one right now, if we can? Where should it be? Let's have a scene on a train or a plane or in a car. What should we have?
Oh, let's shoot for the skies and private jet. I think
private jet. I like that one. So, yeah. And can we see it? We can't see his face, of course. So we can
build up to it.
All right, camera's pointing at the feet. Pair of Nike shoes, white Nike shoes. There's some, what kind of music? Epic background music, or like some,
oh yeah,
okay,
something suitably epic. Got to hype it up as much as possible.
Okay, what about, was it Requiem for a Dream? Is that the one? Requiem for a Dream. I'm gonna try and find it. I'm gonna try and play it in the background. Dun, 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 dun. You know that song?
Despite your brilliant rendition, Nish, no, I'm not familiar with it.
I'm playing it in the background as we speak, so.
Okay.
Okay, it's now playing. We're staring at the shoes. The hype is building. What's going on outside? Is it stormy? Is it sunny?
Oh, again, you want it to be as dramatic as possible, so maybe stormy to start off with.
Stormy
and
outside.
Then as... And then perhaps again, the camera pans up to see someone looking at a tablet, seeing all these rumors and speculation and massive headlines. And again, the storm intensifies.
Oh, lightning.
Outside.
What's going on? Who is
it? And then suddenly on the tablet, there's a breaking news story flashing
up. James Pierce?
Yeah, why not? James Pierce in some sunglasses or something.
Exactly. Wide off the mark.
And then the plane starts to suffer some turbulence.
Oh, no.
But then eventually it comes through the storm and the thunder and lightning into bright blue skies.
Oh, my goodness.
It's breaking and sunshine.
There it goes. Sees live birds out the window.
Exactly, yeah. I was just about to say that.
That's amazing. He's coming into land. And on the tarmac...
And then we pull back from the plane as it lands in Liverpool Airport.
See Peter Moore there with Klopp.
And that's it.
Michael Edwards with a laptop.
The door to the plane pops open. The stairs come down. We see this famous Nike trainer stepping down the steps. And then slowly, ever so slowly, the camera pans up to show us. So who's it going to be, Nish? This is the big thing. Who's this superstar signing going to be?
It's going to be Andy Robertson. Andy Robertson.
If we were to provide that kind of Hollywood production value for Andy Robertson, that would be fantastic. I think certain people on Twitter, their heads would explode if we were to do that.
I would love it. I want it that we actually spend like his actual value of a player, like his £8 million, just on the video.
On the announcement budget.
Just double it up completely. Oh, that would be brilliant. Anyway, sorry. That was fantastic. We have to do that more often. If any of you are listening out there, please send in your wildest ideas for maybe Liverpool will pick one up. You never know.
Yeah, I'm sure someone can top that. It's we've got that one for Andy Robertson now, so we need something even more spectacular for whoever else comes in.
The best bit is that, you know, the whole Virgil van Dijk thing on the plane, it was supposed to be an ad for his Nike shoes. And so
really?
So that's why people are just like, because if no one actually looked at the caption, everyone just saw sulky ass Virgil van Dijk there. But if you see the caption, he's advertising his Nike shoes. That's the whole point of that photo. And so if anyone picked up on that, that's going to be the thing that really blows people's brains if it became Andy Robertson stepping up. I'll probably be the only one who like, everyone else will be fuming. It'll be beautiful. I love it.
Yeah. Do you have any update on that for us, Nish? Your favorite left back? Is he any closer to coming now?
I wouldn't know. I've got no idea. I'm here busy trolling in the nose on Twitter, just like writing tweets in French just to piss people off. Bad French is in Google French, so God knows. Do you have any updates?
No, just what I've seen in the press. There seems to be some momentum building behind that story. So, but perhaps there is something in it. And that sounds to me like a realistic signing as well. You know, someone that would come in, provide strength and depth in that position, and wouldn't be that great a risk for the club in terms of whether he was able to step up to the level that we need him to.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think out of all the ones that are being discussed at the moment, that's probably the one that's going to happen most quickly. And I wouldn't be surprised if he's the next guy through the door.
Yeah. And, you know, what's funny is that people are like, oh, we need to have like the greatest left back in the world. That's the only thing that's suitable for Liverpool. But then you look at, I mean, we all know Mourinho is not actually that great a coach anymore, despite the cups and blah, blah, blah. But look at Darmian, you know, he's the Italian starting right back. And yeah, basically they're looking to let him go now, and rumors anyway. So as much as we can ask for, you know, an Italian, you know, you want a defender, you want an Italian, simple as that. And then to have Darmian who's the starting wing back, and they're like, oh, Klein, shit, Darmian's better, blah, blah, blah. And Darmian seemingly hasn't been able to settle into England. So if you want to have a reason to want Andy Robertson, firstly, he's Scottish, but he's played in England for a while. He's already settled. He knows what the league's all about. And he's defensively sound. And that's, well, people say he gets caught out of it. But I think he's a very smart player. I think he'll be the easiest to transition straight into our team. Yep. Without too much, and then have Milner floating, and I hope Milner still plays a big part in our season ahead. I think he's got the ability.
Do you think that's realistic, though? If we do sign a specialist left back, that will no doubt take Milner's place in the team, and I can't see Klopp being eager to find a place for him in the midfield. So the bench is probably Milner's next destination.
Yeah, if Andy's able to handle it, we have a good backup in Milner if we need it. But the main thing is that Milner played pretty much every single game last season, every important game. True. Milner played, so he needs a rest.
And he was vice captain too, yeah. I think. Yeah.
Did you see the inside? Do you watch inside training, whatever it is, the videos?
No, I've heard it's good, but I haven't seen any of it.
You should check it out, especially the first one, because that's one where Milner's in. They're doing the first test that they do is literally just running laps, and then they give him ear piercings or something, whatever it is, to get lactose or something. I don't know what they're doing to their ears, but it looks weird. They're trying to milk their ears somehow, get lactose out of it. I'm just like, what are you doing? But anyway.
Squad earrings, maybe?
Yeah, exactly.
Latest sponsorship deal.
We see Pogba is starting to perform. He has an earring. Anyway, so yeah, on the first laps, obviously people are running until they give up and they stop. On that first one, the last two or three are like Hendo and Milner. I'm like, firstly, Hendo, that's brilliant because he's been off. But Milner at 31 years old is still just beating absolutely everyone. And then at the end, when they're talking to him, he's like, you know what? I could probably do one more. It's like, oh, you're such a machine. What a boss. So gotta love that guy. Hope he keeps going.
Oh, yeah. I've got immense respect for Milner. I was wondering really whether if it becomes obvious that he's only going to be on the bench, whether he might be keen to move. In order to play, but I would hope that the temptation to be part of hopefully a trophy winning side this season will be enough to make him want to stay with us. So
yeah, I reckon he'll stay. At the end of the day, I mean, the season before he became left back, I think he got the highest amount of assists for us. He got something like 14 assists.
All right.
Yeah, and then he got moved to left back, and then he just took penalties. And it's always good to have a consistent penalty taker, which is fantastic. You need that.
Yeah, he was very dependable, and he only missed one, I think, out of all the pens he took for us last year.
Right at the end. So it's a bit of a shame it happened right at the end, and that would have made a bit of a difference, but not really that big a difference. It just would have given us less heart palpitations, really, if he got that in. But, you know, what's Liverpool without heart palpitations? So it's no point.
Got to keep it interesting, Nish. Got to keep it exciting.
I know. So it's all good. What else are we hearing? People are saying, have you heard this one? Suarez coming back?
I would love it if it was true, but I can't see, unless there was some financial meltdown at Barcelona that required them to offload a player very quickly. I think we can rate that in the slim and none chances of it actually happening.
Yeah, I did again. I'm just out there right now just to annoy in the nose. So Suarez posted a photo today of him next to some glorious beach, which looks like somewhere in Spain, the south of Spain, or somewhere like that. And so I've retweeted it saying, "Breaking: Luis Suarez photographs himself next to the River Mersey, ready for his medical." And people are there going, "Oh, just off the dock road, Boodle, if I'm not mistaken." Bill Quirk is like, "Thought that was New Brighton myself, mate." Hixie, my mate, goes, "He's still slightly leaning," Suarez announced. And then Blackpool Beach was another one. Sorry, but light doesn't reflect of the Mersey. It more apologizes for not being able to break through the crust. Jesus. Well, that's Paul Tabley, whoever that is. Anyway, so Suarez coming back. I still think even at 34, he could probably still do the business for us, but I just don't see him anytime soon coming back for us. I'd love it though.
No, I mean, he's doing so well for Barcelona and has really reached another level. He's one of the best players in the world now. I don't think anyone would dispute that. Yeah. I can't see that happening in the foreseeable future. Yeah. And it'd be interesting, though, whether if there was to come a time, maybe in a few years, what his final move would be, whether he'd want to go and play in another league or might be keen to return home. Who knows? We've just seen it with Rooney, of course. What do you make of the Everton's favourite prodigal son returning home?
I think with all the advancements that they've made, and let's be fair, they are advancements in Everton terms, in getting Klaassen and those guys, I think they're taking a huge step back and in wasting a bunch of their wages on getting Rooney. I think he's just, every time I watch him play now, he just looks like he wants to do more than his skill level can handle anymore, or his body can handle.
Yeah.
His brain is moving faster than his fat little legs can. So apologies if anyone's a Rooney fan. but I can't see him actually being beneficial for Everton. I have a feeling he's going to play maybe 10, 15 games. And I'm sorry, Everton fans, if for whatever reason you're listening to this, but if you listen to the Anfield Wrap, for whatever reason you listen to Anfield Wrap, they had a guy in there talking about it. It's an Australian guy, actually, talking about consistency and how when you have loads of changes in a club, that chemistry and that consistency.
Yeah, I heard that. Cohesion guys.
Cohesion. So that is going to drop. You can't stop it unless you're some freak like Chelsea 03, Chelsea 04, that kind of thing. But you just, and look at Manchester City. They bought some of the best players in the world, and it still took them 3 or 4 years before they really started to click. So Everton, don't be surprised if you still end up 8th or 9th this season. I'm not going to be, and you shouldn't be surprised either. But if you stick by your manager and stick by your players, then the following year, the year after, just like what's happened with Tottenham, then maybe you'll be challenging. But in this day and age of the Premier League, you know, you have 5 minutes to prove yourself. And if you don't, then you're done. But what are your thoughts on Rooney? Sorry.
The only thing that could help Everton in that respect is that whenever you have a large number of players, I think you're absolutely right, that it does take a while for them to bed in and get to know each other and get to play as a team properly. But they have done their business early. And so a lot of their signings will have the time to have a full preseason with the rest of the squad. And that will be of great assistance to them, I think. I still think you're right that they will take a while to get going at the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
But I think the future looks bright for Everton. And I totally agree with you that there was a video on the BBC website of a father and son Everton fans talking about Rooney and whether he should come back, and the son was all in favour of it and the dad wasn't. And the reasons that their dad wasn't keen on Rooney's return were that exactly what you said, that this was seemed like a step back at a time when Everton is making great strides forwards and signing good, exciting young prospects, and very much looking to the future with new stadium and large amounts of investment seemingly in the squad. Where does signing, you know, a 31-year-old former club legend fit into that plan? I mean, maybe Coleman has plans for him and sees a role for him that will fit ideally in the way that he wants to play.
Yeah.
But it's difficult to see how that will work out. Because as you say, I think Rooney's obviously still a very skillful and very talented footballer.
Yeah.
But the pace of yesteryear has long deserted him, and that was something that his game previously relied on, and he just doesn't seem to be the powerful force that he once was, hence Man United's willingness to let him go. And let him go, I think it was on a free, wasn't it?
It was free, yeah.
And it wouldn't surprise me if they're paying part of his wages still. I mean, I don't know whether that's the case that case or not.
£300,000, though. You've got to expect it at crazy age. Yeah, you're going to have to take a pay cut.
Well, I think the stories I've read are that he's basically on 50% of what he was at United, so $150,000 a week, which I'm sure he'll be able to survive on quite comfortably.
Just
still have plenty of budget to buy those pies.
Can I play something quickly? You won't be able to hear it, but it's it's an Everton fan talking about Rooney about 3 days ago, so I'll just play it. I'll tell you about it when it's finished playing.
All the fans will welcome him back, or do you think there'll be some saying, no, you shouldn't be coming back?
Well, I think once he steps out, people will love it. When he left, I for me, it's like your girlfriend, isn't it? You know, you love your girlfriend, it's the love of your life, you're going to marry her, you're absolutely in love, you couldn't be with anybody else, and then you split up, and you call her names, I didn't want to be with her, and anyway, you know what I mean? Rooney's our girlfriend, and we had a split up. And we left, but our girlfriend's back with us now.
Rooney's our girlfriend!
All right, sorry, it's finished now. So basically, there's a guy talking to an Everton fan. Okay, so rumours are that Rooney's come out, gone, and he's coming back. So what do you think about that? And he goes, well, you know, it's like, you know, when you have a girlfriend and you break up with a girlfriend, you're all sad for a while and you hate them and stuff and you get over them. But then sometimes they come back and you love them again. And like, Rooney's our girlfriend. You know, he's come back and I think we love him all this stuff. And then the guy who's recording goes, Rooney's our girlfriend. This is the funniest thing. Oh, it's fantastic. So, yeah.
That's a scary thought, having Rooney as your girlfriend. conjures up all kinds of weird and frightening images.
Oh my God.
There was a quote I read on Twitter today. I think it was from Liam Gallagher, who supposedly said that Rooney looked like a big balloon with a squashed Weetabix on top.
What? A big balloon with a squashed Weetabix on top. What? I've never heard that one before, but that's a good one.
No, it was a new one on me. Maybe this guy invented it, but he attributed it to Liam Gallagher. So
it's quality. All right, well, I'm going to do another emotional background music section. I'm going to play the music now. It's playing in the background.
Okay.
It's a late night. Wait, I've got to rewind the music a bit. Here we go. Okay, it's a late night. You're all dressed up to the nines. You're walking up the stairs, your new girlfriend's hand in hand with you to meet your parents. They open the door and they see that your girlfriend's Rooney. Sorry, I'm going to stop the music now. Just the horror. That would be the absolute magnitude of that horror would be too much. Anyway, so did you see The Echo teasing Liverpool fans again because they absolutely love it, saying that there's a transfer bubbling that's going to be enormous. And then the next article that they post is about James Rodriguez coming to Liverpool. You know, hint, hint, nudge, nudge. Christ almighty. Really? Now they're going James Rodriguez?
I must admit I didn't read the full article, but the headline seemed to me very much one of those pieces that anyone could write in terms of it's possible that Liverpool might sign a player that not everyone has heard of or is expecting.
Jesus.
And it's possible that they might be a superstar, and it's possible that the club might take everyone by surprise.
Oh,
and so it's just a long list of hypotheticals without any real basis for it.
They got it right, though. We signed Ragnar Klavan. Spot on the money. Just didn't have the superstar pull that we were hoping for.
From what I've read about Rodriguez, it seems like he's at Real Madrid right now, and that they appear to be willing to offload him. But he's been linked with a few clubs, not just us. And the most recent thing I read, I think today on the BBC's gossip summary, I think it said that that we're not willing to match the price that they're asking. From memory, I think it was about 66 million or something like that, which seems like a big figure. But having said that, if that's the kind of figures that we were looking to pay for Keita, if that was going to happen, then perhaps it's not that unrealistic.
Not that crazy, is it?
I'd be surprised though if that does happen. We don't seem to be at the moment in for, you know, former Real Madrid or former Barcelona players. We seem to be looking for more of the up and coming stars rather than someone who's already well established.
Yeah,
I know Kate has been playing well, but again, he's still seen as reaching his peak or getting towards his peak rather than someone who's been there and done that. So
yeah, fair enough. Hey, Maddie, can I just ask a quick thing just for the listeners out there? Maybe hearing it sounds like you're shuffling your microphone, maybe hitting your jumper or something.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah, I'll try and stay still. Yeah.
It's just like someone's rubbing your face while you're talking. It sounds delicious.
Sadly not.
Damn it. Quick thing, though. I did find these, you know, Real Madrid just won. They won La Liga, didn't they? They did win the title. Yeah, they did. Barcelona second. They won the Champions League. I don't know if they won the trophy as well, the cup. Who knows? So I went back and I looked at the world record transfer fees. And from 2002, they broke their own record 4 times in a row. Their own world record that they held. So in 2000, they bought Luis Figo for £37 million. In 2001, they bought Zidane for £46.6 million in 2001. They bought Kaká in 2009 for £56 million. They bought Ronaldo in 2009 for £80 million. Remember, these are world records. They're not just breaking their own. They're breaking world records.
Yeah.
And then 2013, they bought Bale for £86 million. And then it was broken in by Man United 2016, £89 million for Paul Pogba. But you see what happens when you start doing that stupid money. Sadly, it does end up working. So it's just annoying. So yeah, and to think you got one wing is Cristiano Ronaldo for £80 million, the other wing has got Gareth Bale for £86 million, and this is before it's become really dumb money, and that's today, where you buy bloody Virgil van Dijk a centre back for £75 million. So, man, I don't know. Do we go down this road? Seems like we have to if we want to be at the absolute elite of the world. Do you believe this theory? Do you wish we could stick to our, you know, working man ways of just doing it off our own grit and our own bat and our own strength? You tell me. Help me out here.
It's an interesting question. I'm not a fan of the idea of let's just spend as much money as possible and that will guarantee a success, because I don't think that always works out. I mean, you only have to look at the season that Pogba has had at Manchester United to see that a vast amount of money doesn't necessarily translate to world-beating performances on the pitch. I think Pogba will come good in his second season and will no doubt be better. But will he be able to justify that kind of price tag? Probably not, on the basis of what we've seen so far of him in a Man United shirt. As for Liverpool, I'm quite happy with us seeking good value for players and trying to get the best value we can and to sign people who are up and coming and perhaps have something to prove and are looking to move to that next level but before perhaps they move on somewhere else. I don't have a problem with that, and I think sometimes those players who still have something to prove are going to try that bit harder and be that more committed to reaching the next level. So I'd rather see someone like that succeed than just buy in a guaranteed superstar who will not necessarily blow everyone away and will no doubt be a very expensive addition to the team. I'm more about quality rather than quantity or how much they cost.
Do you talk with other scousers around there about this particular topic? Is there a feel around the city where do people want to keep the way it's going, or is the Twitter vibe actually real where people are there going, nope, we FSG out and we need to bring in superstar sugar daddy man to come and buy the entire team? Do you get a vibe at all from talking to people in the city?
Yeah, and it's very, very different from what you experience when you go onto Twitter. The Twitter vibe is largely, from what I see, one of frustration and impatience to make superstar signings and to splash money just to get players through the door more quickly. People getting frustrated even over the length of time that the club's negotiating with other clubs. And I think negotiating over fees is just a smart move to try and get the best value that you can. The vibe in the city to me is very different. I think people do want to see more signings and they do want to see them come in, but they're generally more relaxed about as and when it happens.
Yeah.
If anything, I'd say that the only the only bemusement, if you like, is the fact that things are so quiet in terms of the club being linked to players. But my guess is that that's been a reaction to the whole Virgil van Dijk debacle, and yeah, that the club is trying to keep its business in-house as much as possible and to keep things quiet, and that's why we're not hearing quite so much. I mean, my main concern really is that the impression I get from the reports I'm reading in the media is that we're willing to be patient to get our number one targets, and that there still seems to be, whether there's just wishful thinking on my part, but there still seems to be hope that the Van Dijk deal and the Keita deal might actually go through at some point. And that there's just a bit of posture. Oh, of course, yeah. There just seems to be a bit of posturing on the part of their clubs at the moment, probably trying to get the best price that they can. My concern with that is that if we wait too long and those deals don't come off, then does that then make getting second choices or alternative choices through the door that much more difficult? Yeah. And obviously it'll be later in the day then, in terms of later in pre-season, and then we'll have the problems that we talked about before about giving them sufficient time to settle in and really hit the ground running when the season starts. So yeah, I think patience is good, but I think at some point and some point soon the club has to take a stance and say, well, this guy's not available, or it's going to be too difficult to bring him in, so we'll go for someone else instead.
And also in that same point, I mean, you do look at all the other clubs. If you want, we can talk Paul Pogba again. And wasn't that a deadline day decision as well? They waited and waited and waited and waited and tried their absolute hardest, and finally they landed him, I think, deadline day. But
I can't remember whether it was deadline day. I thought it was before that.
I'm not sure. I think it did take a long time. I do remember that. I think sometimes you just have to realize, look, if you really want that big player and you're willing to spend the amount, and I think this was said on Day Trippers, This is a 60, 70, 80 million pound purchase. This is the same amount as most small companies would be sold for. And they go through levels of due diligence and go through checks. And then you have to go through lawyers and legal and an agent fees and all that kind of stuff to get things done when it's a big deal like that. Nothing of that magnitude. And yeah, you may play Football Manager and you put in a high bid and you win the deal. Unfortunately, it doesn't quite happen like that in real life. So I think just a little bit of patience. And with these really big deals like this, and just remember, our record is 35 million. And now we're talking about over doubling that. So proper due diligence, proper work has to be put into this, risk mitigation, negotiation, all that kind of stuff. If someone says, I want 75 million for you have to pay 75 million for my player, you do not go, all right, here's 75 million. You go, here's 50 million. And then you start working your way into, okay, yeah. We'll negotiate on 58.5 million and some add-ons. And that's how you do a deal. You don't just go, oh, okay, I really want him. So 75 million, here we go. Just pay the money, Linda. I don't mean that if anyone's listening. that's my query and concern. Are you still there? Sound like you went really quiet. Maddie? So I had a technical glitch. My internet went down. And now both myself and Maddie Lyon can't even remember what we were talking about. And I can't rewind this pod to find out what the problem was or what the conversation was. So next topic, I guess. Bloody internet. This is Australia. If anyone knows anything about Australian internet, it's kind of behind the times.
So. I think you were telling me about the world record fees, and we were discussing whether that was the recipe for success to spend big.
I was talking about the how it's the size of a company. Yeah, it's a big spending situation. Yeah. Okay, well, I'll just end it with, it takes time. Calm down. we will get there in the end, I'm sure. Apparently, Virgil van Dijk has refused to speak to the media, which he probably knows what the questions will be. So to me, if I'm going to speculate, it's going to be that's a good sign for us.
Yeah, that's smart. It's better than him coming out and swearing his allegiance to Southampton. So... I think that's a smart move by him or his representatives. Yes. To just keep things quiet and wait for things to either die down or to go through.
Yeah, I don't think he's doing Cristiano Ronaldo and trying to get a new contract because, ooh, shock horror, he's staying at Real Madrid.
Yeah, surprise, surprise. There was no return to Manchester United, staying at Madrid.
Who would have thought? Cristiano... They're just Rooney, Cristiano. They all use the same playbook. I'm going to leave. There's only one way to fix this. Pay off my tax problem or I'm out of here. So sad times.
That's the interesting question, though, that I was thinking about with the whole Rooney return was whether it's ever a good idea for players to go back to their former clubs when perhaps they're not quite at the level they were when they first burst onto the scene. Yeah. But you see it happen reasonably often. And the only one I can think of off the top of my head where it actually worked really well was when Ian Rush came back to us after a season. But he was only at Juventus for one season, I think. So it wasn't as though we were getting back a radically different player from the one who we loved in the first place.
Lower league, I think of Sigurdsson. He went back.
Yeah.
He did pretty well. Well, he's doing pretty well.
And he may also be going to Everton. I read this morning they've lodged a big bid for him. So.
Yeah. I think I did ask people before, would we take him? Because he's basically the only reason Swansea did anything in the season. He got all their goals and all their assists. So, yeah. I don't know how you can get all the goals and all the assists, but he was clearly a standout player.
Pass to himself.
Yeah, exactly. Just go from the corner, kick it high in the sky, and run down, run into the box.
Run onto it.
Perfect. I'd pay good money to see that happen.
That reminds me, I was playing FIFA last week with my 10-year-old godson, and he's just embarrassingly so much better than me at FIFA. he was playing Arsenal, and he let me play Liverpool, and he was managing with just Peter Cech to run the length of the field score past me. So
it's painful, isn't it?
It was very painful. Like, oh, so Jesus. Suffice to say, I gave up after getting beat a couple of times.
Oh dear, I wonder how I'd be, because I used to play FIFA a solid 3 or 4 hours a night. Minimum. Yeah, and that's, I quit playing games late last year. I had to life change. And so I don't know if I'd be any good at all now. I used to play so much, and I was never really that good, let's be honest. But I enjoyed it because I played with the same guys in pro clubs since 2010. So that was a solid 7 years or 6 years of playing with the same group of guys. And that was really, that's what I played for, the banter. So
you'd still be miles better than me, Nish, I'm sure. maybe that could be a new thing, the LFC podcasting couch FIFA tournament.
FIFA tourney. Yeah, why not? Let's I set it up with my boys at ozfifa.com. They were my first sponsors on here. So if you're listening to this by any chance, you lads, if you're still there, let's set it up. Let's do a podcasting couch FIFA tournament with the Australian FIFA and FIFA players, Xbox and PlayStation. Make it happen. I don't know how I'll do this, but it sounds like a fun idea. So anyway, if any of you guys are from Australia and you play FIFA, go to ozfifa.com. That's ausfifa.com. And they've got like 6,000 or 7,000 FIFA players all from the region playing against each other and qualifying for the world tournaments and stuff. So that's pretty cool. And that's where I used to be all the time. Not anymore. Now I just abuse people.
doesn't sound like a healthy transition. No, from 3 or 4 hours a night of gaming to just abusing people.
Exactly. Some people said I got happier. No, I think I just got a bit angrier. So it's all good. We might shut it off pretty soon because we're getting towards an hour now. But any shout outs or anybody you want to call out? I think we're going to do a bro plus special guest pod soon. That'll be interesting.
A shout out to your fellow host, Rich. Really enjoyed the job he's been doing on the other pods. I really enjoyed the interview with Machen. I thought that was excellent. Just shout out to him, really.
Awesome. Yeah, he's in Wales right now, doing something in Wales. So I don't know. Don't they have like a New Zealand joke? You know, apparently the Welsh and sheep are the same as like New Zealand and sheep. I didn't even know that till recently.
Unfortunately, there are those horrible stereotypical jokes that I wouldn't dare repeat, Nish.
Ah, okay, fair enough. So it's true. Right. Well, I didn't know it, so I apologize if I offended anyone just then. But yeah, hope you have fun. Rich, good. Thank you so much for joining the couch. I had full belief in you. Took a few training sessions before we got the audio right, but I think we got it right, and you're going to kick ass, so great to have you on. And I'm praying that our special jumpers get delivered soon. And I'm still going to try and recruit Maddie Line if anyone's listening. So if you want to hear more Maddie Line, let me know. I want to see if I can make you a full-time from Liverpool correspondent. Be glorious. Anyway, mate, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on the couch once again.
Thanks, Nish. Yeah, and I'll speak to you soon.
Yep,
see you. Hopefully we'll have signed a surprise superstar in the meantime.
Exactly, with an £8 million budget on the video.
and you directing the announcement. Yeah,
I love it. All right, guys, thanks a lot for listening to episode 93 of the LC Podcast and Couch. Have a very good day or night. Goodbye.
Lovely cushion header. Pajero!